you came to visit First Baptist Church of Hammond, and you couldn't believe what you saw. Maybe you came on a Sunday night, and you looked around and saw this many people in church on Sunday night, and you could not believe your eyes. And you heard me stand up and make the young people be quiet. And by the way, I want to make this very plain. I will not condone teenage misbehaving under any condition, no matter who it is. I will not condone it. I'll quit the ministry before I condone it. And I will not. And we have an element. I have, in this church, I'm going to say a few words about it tonight, several little groups who are hounding and making it miserable for every Sunday school teacher, every teacher who teaches them, every departmental superintendent who is in charge of them, the youth director, every teacher that they have at school. You know, if a dozen people come to me and not a one of them knows anybody else came to me and says your girl is a miserable little wretch or your boy is a little hoodlum, then there must be something to it. There's no planned conspiracy. and you can't say any one person is after your child. And you heard me. You came to the church and you heard me call down some teenagers maybe. And if you've been here many times, you've heard me do that. And if you're here many times in the future, you'll hear me again. But, and you said, I didn't know there was a place like that left. You saw and heard young ladies like these sing up here on our platform. And with the dresses down to the knee. And anytime anybody sings on our platform with a dress, a miniskirt type dress on, they have sung their swan song at First Baptist Church of Hammond, you see. And you couldn't believe, you get by, folks come here and they say, I can't believe you can get by with it. Well, they're not finished yet. I mean, after all, I may not get by with it, but whether I get by with it or not, as long as I'm here, you're going to put up with it, you see. Because I'm an old-fashioned, old-time religion believer, an old-fashioned American, and what I'm preaching, we had some students from a college in the area who came and said, boy, that really is out of date. Yeah, I know. And it was the very college they attend that got me right on some of these things years ago. I was preaching to a bunch of Nazarenes, God bless them. I love the Nazarenes. But they, like Baptists, are changing a great deal. And one Nazarene said, you're out on a limb. I said, there was a day when I was at the trunk of the tree and you were out on a limb. You called me out, and then you, Judas Iscariot, you crawled back to the trunk. And now you're trying to saw the limb. I'm on out here. I'm not preaching anything different from what your preacher used to preach before the world changed. He got a coward, became a coward, that's all. And Hiles Anderson College is no... Listen, Hiles Anderson... There were that many schools in the Chicago area just as strict 25 years ago as Hiles Anderson College is today. Just as strict. So, we just didn't change, that's all. And by the way, we have no immediate plans of doing so. So, but you couldn't understand it. You said, how can he get by with that? Boy, it looks like those folks would kill him. They may do it someday, but I'll die happy. And I got enough tapes around the country to haunt you the rest of your life. but you couldn't understand it. You came again. And you saw the invitation time. Maybe you came on a Sunday morning and you saw this altar filled with folks coming to Christ, and you saw us baptized. We averaged last year baptizing 150 people a Sunday. And you saw that, and you couldn't believe what your eyes saw. One lady said, I was out in California, and she said, I visited your church one time, and I said, what Sunday was it? She said, the Sunday you baptized all those folks. So you came again. And it was the same way the next time. The crowds were here. And the preacher was even meaner than he was before. And you couldn't believe what you saw. You absolutely couldn't believe that in 1975 there'd be anything at all like this. And so, finally, you joined. But there's one thing that you, about which you were wrong. You thought we were a perfect church. You thought somehow that a sanctified person pastored the church, and sanctified folks filled the pews. And so you got in the church, and you went to a party that somebody had in the church, or you had some folks out to eat, and you heard somebody say an unkind word about the preacher, and you couldn't believe it. Could it be that anybody in First Baptist Church would gossip? And you even found some people that weren't all that you thought they ought to be. And you said, well, that church is not what I thought it was. You found we're human. I was watching these ushers come down the aisle a while ago. And this is the thought I had. There's only one difference from this church and every other church in America that preaches the gospel but not separation. And that is, we're not perfect, but we're not happy about it, and we're working on it. See? Our young people are not perfect. And we have some young people that are far from perfect, and you have a pastor far from perfect. But we're working on it. We have things in our schools that other schools have, but we're trying to get rid of it. And if we find it, we will get rid of it. Now, but you couldn't believe it. And you were disappointed. And you said to yourself something, words that maybe were about like this: will the real First Baptist Church please stand up? Is it what I thought it was, or is it what I found it to be? You're disappointed. And you don't, you've come to realize suddenly that the pews here are filled with human beings who have frailties and weaknesses like all other human beings have. You heard of Hiles Anderson College. You read an ad in some paper, and you saw pictures of our students. You couldn't believe our boys get haircuts. And let me say what I said the other Sunday night. You folks that have long, shaggy hair, you males, I gather, that have long, shaggy hair, we look like freaks to you, but do you know you look just as freakish to us as we look to you? Huh? I mean, we go to the zoo to see folks like you. And so I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you the truth. I want to be honest to you. And if you folks have been to the zoo, Lincoln Park Zoo, and what's the other one? Brookfield Zoo. And if you have seen all that's over there, some holiday, go to the University of Chicago. And look around there. You'll be amazed. I mean, they've got apes, PhD, over there. They've got baboons, DD, over there. Is out like you're preaching. Well, I'm going to worry about that when I put it in my schedule. But I'm booked up through September. And, you came, and you heard about Hiles Anderson College, and you said, I can't believe that. And so you came to visit Hiles Anderson College, and you walked out on the chapel and heard all our wild Indians hollering out there. Compared to our chapel service at Hiles Anderson College, Pentecostal churches are like Episcopalian funerals. And you heard a fellow say, amen! And then you decided to come to Hiles Anderson College, and you found some of those fellows that said amen and got to merit one time. Or you heard a fellow, some of the students that you thought were the best students we had, and you were disappointed. And you said, now, would the real Hiles Anderson College please stand up? I don't know which one. I thought it's perfect. No. you found out that Hiles Anderson College, the best college I think in the world today, you found out that Hiles Anderson College is composed of human beings. Imperfect, but not happy about it. Sinful, but discouraged about it. You were sick of the school your child attended. And you heard about the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and it's Hammond Baptist Grade School and Hammond Baptist High School. You heard about the standards of our church, and you got some tapes of mine. You heard the way I preach. And you said, I am going to get my children in those schools. For those are schools that believe something and have convictions and believe in separation. And I'm going to get my children in those schools. Maybe you quit your job somewhere and move to this area just for that purpose. Or maybe you live close enough where you get your children in our schools anyway. And so you heard about it and you thank God for it and you came out to enroll your student, your children in Hammond Baptist High School or Hammond Baptist Grade School, and you thought, boy, that does it. Everything's okay. They'll turn out to be saints now for sure because the school is perfect. And then one day you found your kid got in the wrong crowd at Hammond Baptist High School. You found your little boy comes home and says some bad words he learned from some student that goes to Hammond Baptist Grade School. Now, if we find out about those bad words, we're going to do something about it. And I want to say this, too. When you find somebody's taking dope in one of our schools, or somebody's cursing in one of our schools, or somebody is smoking in one of our schools, or somebody is drinking in one of our schools, and you don't tell us, you're the fink. You're the fink. You're a yellow coward, that's what you are. I mean, listen to me. How in the world can we keep such garbage out of our schools unless we know what's going on? And I'm talking to you kids over here, too. You don't even love the church or the school or the souls of men if you know some dirty garbage going on like that and you won't tell us about it. You're akin to this crowd trying to absolve the Un-American Activities Committee. You're the same brand of people that don't want us to have a CIA. You're the one who want crooks to have their rights. You're the same ones that want a fella breaks into somebody's house and gets hurt to sue them and get money from them because he's hurt on their property. I'll bind you one thing, brother. If you ever get on my property and I find you on there, and if you're the kind that's going to sue, you're dead sure going to have a lot to sue for. That's the kind you are. You protect crooks. And a person who goes to one of our schools and takes one swallow of liquor or one drag on a cigarette or takes one to a dope is a dirty crook. Is exactly what he is. Because you sign a statement, you won't do such stuff as that, and that includes listening to rock music. But you found that your child came home one day and used a bad word he learned at one of our schools. And you were concerned. Why, you'd heard so much about Hiles Anderson College and Hammond Baptist High School, Hammond Baptist Grade School, and First Baptist Church of Hammond, and you couldn't believe what you'd heard. You couldn't believe anybody there would do such things. And you were disenchanted, maybe, or at least confused. You wanted to say something like this. Will the real Hammond Baptist High School please stand up? Will the real Hammond Baptist Grade School please stand up? You couldn't comprehend it. You may even, after you moved here, found yourself backsliding. You may have found yourself, after coming to this church, from a church that is not a fraction of what this church is, you may have found yourself growing cold and backsliding. And you can't understand it. Why is it back home you saw one person saved a week, and here you see hundreds saved a week, and yet you backslide? Why is it back home you saw 100 people in Sunday school and church, and here you see thousands of people coming every week, and you find yourself backsliding? You can't understand that. You ask yourself, has the church changed since I got here? No. It was the same before you got here. We just added one more sinner when you arrived. You say, was I deceived? No, you weren't deceived. The truth is, there are people in this room tonight who are members of this church, whom I love very dearly, who don't believe what I'm preaching right now. Now, they dead sure won't change it. If they try to talk about it, they'll have to talk to the thin air, because they won't talk to me about my preaching at all. But there are folks here tonight grimacing, saying, we should get on compassion and tenderness and love for a while. You may as well go to sleep, because that is not... I got it out here. I know what's coming. There's no heaven in here. It's just all hell, as far as I can see. I got it written down here. You ask yourself, what's happened? Was I deceived? Let me make a few observations. Number one, the tares are sown by the devil in the best churches, not the worst ones. Sometimes read the 13th chapter of Matthew. You'll find that the tares are sown among the wheat. Now, what is a tare? It's an imitation wheat. It's that person who looks like a Christian, who acts like a Christian, who sings like a Christian, who talks like a Christian, but who's not been born again. Now, the Bible says that the tares are sown among the wheat. You will find more unconverted church members in this room tonight than you will find in any room in Chicago area tonight. You say, how about the liberal churches? They're not at church tonight. They're closed down. You say, that's too bad. Well, it's not either. Thank God they're closed down. We said, closed down on Sunday morning. And they almost are. I mean, what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that the devil knows where to put his tares. And that's why when you come to church like this, you've got to still teach your kids, watch your crowd. You can get in the wrong crowd at Hammond Baptist High School. There are some students in Hammond Baptist High School that you decent kids shouldn't run with. There are some students in Hammond Baptist Grade School. You say, why don't you kick them out? We would if we knew who they were. And we do expel students regularly. And there are numbers of students who don't know it, but unless there is a drastic change in the next 2.5 months, they have said adios to our schools. There are 15 students in this room, pardon me, pupils, in this room right now, who are only in our schools and who only finished the year because of me. I stood in the gap for you. Mr. O'Clair will tell you. Mr. Pash will tell you. Dr. Billings will tell you. I've said, let's give them another chance. I've stood in the gap for you. When the teachers wanted you out, and the administrators wanted you out, and the better students wanted you out, and I am sick and tired of you betraying my loyalty to you. And the curtain is pulled as of right now. I don't like that. Well, you just figure out the best way you can to lump it. Now, you can use sugar or salt or whatever you want to use. But this time we got a hold of some of our kids and shook them and said, you behave. You say, Brother House, what would you suggest? Oh, maybe murder? Brother, the day that one of the kids that lives at my house decides they won't obey me, they can have their grip and leave. And you said, what is it? Okay, I know what it is. The tares are sown among the wheat. Every time I preach like this, which is every week, we have some folks who say, I won't come back. Why do you think I let you have it then? I knew you wouldn't come back. I can see some not come backers all over this house tonight. We got a whole house full of not come backers. We got some folks that will go home before the youth conference. And some of you don't dress better, ladies, who have youth conference. You won't even get in when you come Tuesday. Boy, I sleep well when I preach like this. You toss and tumble all night. Tares. You know that the devil's masterpiece is a person on a church roll in a fundamental church who's not born again. The tares are sown among the wheat, and the Bible says that we cannot know who the tares are. The Bible says, let them grow. Don't pluck them up. Let them grow until the end of the age, and the angels will come and take the tares. Now get this, if you're not born again, get this, if you're on this church roll and not going to heaven, get this, if you teach Sunday school here, have not been born again, get this, in the choir, not born again, get this, on the deacon board, not born again, you may fool the preacher now, and you may fool your wife or husband now, and you may fool your friends now, and you may fool the staff now, but the day is going to come when the angels will come and separate the tares from the wheat and throw the tares into everlasting torment, and you'll go to hell like all the rest of the sinners who are not born again. We have 105 deacons, 108, I forget what it is right now. I'm sure some of them are not saved. I don't know who they are. They all look saved to me. I don't know who they are. But the devil puts the tares among the wheat. We have some of the finest folks in the world singing our choir. Thank God. Let's see how all of you dress. People say to me, why don't your choir wear robes? Well, there are many reasons. But they say, well, our choir has to wear robes to cover up some of the ladies, the way they dress. Well, bless God, though we don't have those kind of folks in our choir, you see. And we have some folks in the congregation who need to wear robes. If we ever have any robes around here, it'd be the some of you folks in the congregation we're giving out you robes instead of the choir. That'd be a new slant, wouldn't it? Congregation robes. That may start a new trend all over America. Congregation robes. We may just get some robes and make some of you gals wear them. Some of you folks are miserable already, and you got an hour to go. And make some of you gals wear them that wear miniskirts to church. We just give you a congregation robe. You know what we did one year at youth conference? We had some paper dresses made. They were like the old shifts. And everybody that came in the door in a miniskirt had to go right back out the door and go upstairs and put a paper dress on. You say, well, I wouldn't like that if I came. You wouldn't have to like it, but you'd have to wear one. We had girls that year. Look, in case you're not having much fun, I'm having so much. It'll even out real well. The average is great. We had girls that year that absolutely got needle and thread and sewed towels on the bottom of their dresses. We had dead sheets and towels and bathrobes and wash rags. Everything imaginable, sewed on dresses. But bless God, we didn't show a bunch of thighs around here during the youth conference. He said, what's wrong with miniskirts? There's not a red-blooded man in this house that doesn't know what's wrong with miniskirts. If you ladies don't know, you ask the men. If they don't know, send them for a medical checkup. We have tares on our Sunday school faculty. Folks not born again. How do you know? Because the devil sows the tares among the wheat. So may I say tonight, if you don't know that your name is in heaven, if you don't know that you've been born again, if you don't know that you're saved, if you don't know, K-N-O-W, that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven in God's dear name. Look out to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come. And look at that day when He'll send His angels to gather the tares and gather the wheat and take the tares and cast them into fire. Look out there when you'll be found out you've not been born again. Before you walk out those doors tonight, you come down here and hit an old-fashioned mourner's bench. And first, thank God you happened to come to church tonight that reminded you of that possibility and told you you needed to get born again and come down here in an old-fashioned mourner's bench and get your sins forgiven and get your name written in heaven and become born of the Spirit of God. Why? What happened? What is it about First Baptist Church? Would the real First Baptist Church please stand up? Why do we have this element? Because we have some tares. Number two, we have a mixed multitude. A mixed multitude. You read a while ago, the Israelites left the land of Egypt. There went with them a mixed multitude. In Numbers chapter 11, when the fiery serpents came and bit the people, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness on the rod, and the Bible says that the mixed multitude turned their hearts to lusting, and they're the ones who said, we want the onions and cucumbers and watermelons and garlic and leeks of Egypt. We're tired of this light bread. We loathe this light bread. The mixed multitude was there. Everywhere you find God's people, you find a mixed multitude. There was a Dan, a serpent in the 12 tribes of Israel. There was a Judas Iscariot in the 12 apostles. There was a Cain in the first family on earth. There was a mixed multitude with Israel. There was an Absalom reared in David's home. There was a Lot in Abraham's house. There was an Esau in Isaac's home. There was a Ham in Noah's household. There was an Ananias and Sapphira in the church at Jerusalem. There was a Korah among the priests in the Old Testament. And in a church like this, the devil always puts his mixed multitude. Folks that do not live what we preach and what the Bible teaches. And we have that in our church. All First Baptist Church people are not acceptable for your young people to run with. Let me say it again. Here's what happens. Many of you come to First Baptist Church and you think that ends all the teaching and training you ought to do to your children. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, you'll still have to say to your children, run with the right crowd, even after you come to First Baptist Church. But now here's the difference. We do have a right crowd to run with. That's the difference. You teach your child at public school to run with the right crowd and watch him try to find one. There is a right crowd to run with in Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist High School, Hiles Anderson College and First Baptist Church of Hammond. There, all the people in Hiles Anderson College are not acceptable for you to run with. All people in Hammond Baptist High School are not acceptable for you to run with. All people in Hammond Baptist Grade School are not acceptable for you to run with. Now that means that you young people in our grade school, our high school, and our college are to be careful, even though you are in what I think are the three best schools in the entire world. And I mean that. How did the difference? There are not that many schools in America whose preacher knocks sin in the face and the head as hard as I do. And in many schools, the undesirable, rebels, cocky, smart aleck, bums, good for nothing, loafing, rebellious. What's the word? Punks. I'm trying to think of a big word. Punks. They're the popular ones, but not at our schools. Now let me say this. You can find in this room tonight punks. Now, let me say this. I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm mad at wrong. And I love you if every person in this room, listen, there's a young lady in this room, and nobody knows who she is except two or three people. She came to my office one night and was so rebellious against her mom and her dad and against me, she fought all of us. She clawed my hand, and we had to call the police. Now, she's trying to do better, and she doesn't have a better friend than Dr. Jack Hiles. And I think now she's a lovely young lady. I'm your friend. And by the way, when I reach out and call you a rebellious punk, I'm the best friend you've got. Best friend you've got. And you just try. You just come one step toward being decent, and you see if I won't help you. You ask a great host of people, young people, who are now adults, and some are still young people, who've grown up or are growing up in this church, and you ask them, okay, how far in sin you've gone, how deep you've gone, if you want to get right and go straight, I'll be your friend and I'll meet with you and I'll help you. Today, not on my desk, on the floor in the corner rather, I've got a big basket of fruit. Bananas and grapes and apples and oranges given to me today by a lovely young Christian lady who was at the bottom of sin, and I met with her every week for 7 long months. I gave her 30 minutes of my time, and I'm pretty busy. For 7 long months I gave her time, and I adopted her sort of unofficially as one of my own daughters, and she didn't have enough money last week to give me a Father's Day present, and she brought me a big basket of fruit. And I've been her friend, and she was farther in sin than many of you. And another girl came this morning and gave me a nice pineapple. And that young girl was a bus kid, and she was on the bottom. And I've been her friend, and I've tried to help her. And she's one of my sort of adopted daughters, and I've tried to help her. And I'll be for anybody who's trying to do right. But you folks trying to stir up trouble and trying to cause others to follow your mischievousness and your wickedness and your rebellion, I'll guarantee you I'll clip your wings as fast as I know they're growing. I'll say again, there are people in this room right here tonight who skip church. There are teenagers tonight in this room who come to church, sit somewhere where the moms and dads aren't looking, and by the way, that's a pretty dangerous thing. And they'll slip out. Last week it happened. I got 2 or 3 notes last week. I could call the names of those who did it, and one of these nights I'm going to do it. They'll slip out, get in their cars, teenagers, drive off, come back to deceive their naive and blind and ostrich mothers and dads. There are young folks in this room tonight. I'm talking about not bus kids either. And the ones I just talked about weren't bus kids either. Who go over here and up here and get toilet paper and hand towels in the restrooms and purposely plug up the commode and flush them until the commodes overrun and the restroom has an awful odor, water and dung all over the floor. You are as crooked as Richard Speck. And these aren't bus kids. They're punks. Sorry punks. Hoods. Crooks. Thieves. Hey, where do you think that money came from to buy the toilet paper? Whose money is that? It's God's money, you thief. Who do you think pays the plumbing bill? God's money. Brother, it's a pretty perverted, depraved mind that has fun doing that kind of stuff. Now, moms and dads, you see to it your kids don't run with them. But you say, well, somebody's got to help them. If they won't help, I'll help them. But don't you sacrifice your children like lambs on an altar where a lion can come and get them. you keep them in the right crowd. We have young people, I don't know who they are, who curse, cheat, lie, do wrong to girls. Listen, just because a boy, young man, goes to Calvin Baptist High School doesn't mean your daughter can go with him without you checking him out. Just because your boy goes to Hammond Baptist High School doesn't mean that every girl there is the kind of girl your boy ought to date. You boys, if there's anything that makes me mad, it's just talk about the straight crowd at Hammond Baptist High School. Brother, that's the only kind of crowd that ought to be out there. If you're not in a straight crowd, get your duds and get out. You think it's... People say, well, some of the students at Hammond Baptist High School, they said, well, I don't want to go to Hiles Anderson College because all that shouting. You ought to be shouting with them. You won't enjoy heaven. You wait till they start shouting in heaven. I don't want to go to heaven, it's all that shouting. Well, don't worry, most of you are not. Feel that way. But you're going to hear more noise where you go. Now I'm saying that we have to watch it. There are undesirable people in our schools. I don't know who they are in some cases. I know some, and I'm the only person who's been keeping them in the school, and I'm through with it now. I'm through with it. And don't you parents get on me, brother, when the teacher comes, another teacher comes, principal comes, when the grade school principal came, and the high school principal came, and last year's principal came, and even four last principals came, and this year's principal came, and the youth director comes, and the Sunday school teacher comes, and the superintendent comes, and the people that sit beside them come, and the folks at youth activities sit beside them come, and all of them say that your kid is a punk. You better do something about it. Good night. What's wrong with you? If you want, I am. And I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to shake some sense in your head. I'm not talking about students that are young people that just sometimes whisper and get caught. I'm talking about rebellion. I'm talking about students that laugh at decent kids. I'm talking about you petting and hugging and kissing like animals. That's what I'm talking about. Disgrace in the sight of God. And by the way, you betrayed every godly person who sacrificed his money and given his time to see we had a decent school. You betrayed all of them. And you folks that won't tell us who's doing it, betray them too. Tares. That's one reason you might have been disappointed. Number two, mixed multitude. Number three, and I've said this already, the third observation is, don't you let up at home just because you're here. I say it again, I believe the best faculty, and I mean this as far as scholarship, as far as teaching ability, as far as spiritual fervor, I believe the best faculty of any college I have ever seen in my life is at Hiles Anderson College. And I believe we have the finest bunch of school teachers in America today in our other schools. Not perfect. And I think we have far and away the best schools in the world. But by the way, what you're hearing tonight is one of the things that keeps them the best schools in the world. But you can't let up at home. You've got to keep teaching your children to watch the wrong crowd. You've got to keep teaching your children against wrong. You've got to teach instilling character in your children. You've got to keep teaching your children to obey authority and respect authority. A man, one of the finest men and the meekest men I know in this church, taught a Sunday school class of high school boys last Sunday. They were such hoods, punks, demented, diseased, foolhardy rebels. If I could think of worse words, I would. So that man, if I know a patient man in this church, That man was trembling and weeping when he walked out of that class. Number four, this observation. Just because you found us not perfect, don't turn to criticism. You see, there's something that we have, there's a problem we have that nobody else has. We know each other better than anybody else. See, that gal that sings in the choir up here somewhere flunked your boy in algebra. And you flunked her girl in English. Now, you see, in most churches, they're together just a few hours on Sunday. But most churches are together an hour on Sunday. And in most churches, nobody's been together at all. But you see, you can put on your halo and wear it for an hour a week. And everybody thinks you're a pretty good Christian. But man, we got to wear our halos around here 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and mine gets where it hurts my ears. So sometimes I take mine off, and you see me when it's off. We know each other pretty well. See, familiarity breeds contempt. That's in the second chapter of Jude also. It's right after that blessed old verse says, every tub has got to sit on its own bottom. You find it again in the book of Hezekiah. Mentioned four times in the book of Hezekiah. A lot of you are going to look for it half the night, aren't you? But we know each other. Familiarity breeds contempt. So what happens is this. We're interwoven all the time. I mean, the choir director here is in charge of the choir, and in the choir is the music director at the high school, the music teacher at the college, one, and the pianist under him also teaches music at the college. So, the college, the choir director of this church has all those snobs under him. Not snobs either, the finest folks in the world. But funny, we're interwoven. See, we get to know each other pretty well. So a teacher could say, boy, that fellow dead sure shouldn't be a deacon. His daughter's in my class. I know, but you got one thing to worry about. Your daughter's in somebody's class too. See? So we have to stop to realize that we're going to see the faults of each other more than any other churches will, because we have a society here. We know each other. Next thought is this, and that is, it's still the same church, and you all recognize, before you ever join, it's an imperfect church. It's pastored, and don't say amen to this, it's pastored by a sinner. Thank you very much. And hypocrites. It has sinners on the staff. You say, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you one of those members of that staff didn't speak to me like I think he should have. Yes, I know. I know. Look at him. If you ever want to get real discouraged, you stop and think, this is the best. I know. But what you didn't know is this, is that I was a sinner when you came, just like I am now. Oh, come on. There you go out of college, boy. You'll never enroll this year. But you know, we've got to stop. You know, there's one scripture I dearly love, and that is our Lord says He remembers that we're flesh. Wouldn't that be nice if we had the same kind of memory? Huh? He remembers that we're flesh. Now, we in our little society here have to remember the same thing. We have to constantly be aware of the fact that all of us are flesh. and we have to give grace. Now, again, may I say this? Grace toward imperfection. Not grace toward rebellion. Not grace toward bad spirits, unless forgiveness is sought. But grace toward people like you and me who are trying to do right and stumble and make mistakes. Another thought is this, and I say this honestly because I believe it. The best young people in the world are in this room tonight. There are more virtuous girls in this room tonight than you'll find in any other room in America tonight or the world. There are more young girls who walk down the altar and kiss their groom giving him the first kiss they ever gave to a member of the opposite sex than you'll find in any room in this world tonight. We have a lot of girls that don't kiss boys. You say, how do you know? You ought to watch them kiss sometime when they get married. They haven't practiced. You can tell. I know when some guy 21 years old goes... I mean, you mark it down, brother. He has not practiced. And some of you fellows better watch how you kiss, because I can tell when you practice. One fellow I married the other day, we had to reenact the ceremony, take pictures. And I said, now let's take the kiss. He said, I got to do it again? I said, well, a lot of us would be glad to stand in for you if you want some help. One of our young ladies sat in the office last night, thrilled me beyond compare. She said to me, she's grown up in this church. When I came here, she was 1 year old. She's now 17. Graduated from high school this year. I haven't been to high school. She's going with a college student, and she said to me something that made me rejoice way into the night last night. She said, I think hand-holding and kissing should be reserved for marriage. She said, I'm looking forward because it'll be so much sweeter then. Now, we have some Delilahs here. All the women barbers are not dead. We have some here. But there are more chaste, decent, virgin girls in this room right here than you'll find in any room in America. No doubt about it. Best young people in the world. I mean that. There's not a section of young people in America. Now, we have some over here that are worldly, hoods, sitting around now. I mean, we've got some boys over there that ruin your girl's character and virtue if you let them go with them. I'm not sitting over here on that. I'd be ashamed to be one of them. Say, well. We got more. Listen, there are more clean young men over here in this section and this room tonight than you'll find in any room in America. We got a lot of wonderful young men who believe what is preached in this pulpit. Some of you punks can call them straights if you want to. Well, I'd rather be a straight than a crooked. So, I think we ought to constantly be on the lookout. Always. But I also think we ought to stop and thank God that we do have the best situation with which to rear our children of anybody in the whole world. This observation also. After it's all said and done, you look at our product. Some of our kids never go astray, but some go astray, but they come back. Now I talk to these boys for tonight. Misbehaved up here. You watch it. Some of those boys right there will be the best kids, some of the best Christians in America in a few years. Now they will. If you moms and dads will stand beside me and be as hard on wrong as I am, they will. This morning, I had to preach a hot sermon. Tough one. During the last school year. One Sunday night. I mean, it'd make this sermon seemed like a flower garden devotional. And I raised, healed the dead, cast out the sick, and raised the devils. And every young man that was an object, I peeled the bark of the basketball team. Remember that? Huh? We had a meeting after it was over in the chapel. And I said, every one of you can get your carcass off the basketball court and never play for us again unless you straighten up. And every one of those fellas either came to me weeping or wrote me notes or came to somebody or apologized or got on their knees at this altar and wept their way to God, those that were guilty. And some of the finest young men in this country tonight are the young men I preached at that night. They knew I wasn't mad at them. They knew I hate their wrong, but I love them. And this morning, when I got to my office, there was a bag of oranges with some pecans in it and a senior picture of one of those boys, the one that was probably the one that's most object. And on the back of the picture, he said, I hope that someday I can be half the man you are. He said, you're the best preacher in the whole world. Now, the truth is, I don't have much trouble with people like that, boy, because I'm their buddies. I'm their buddies. Does a mother hate the children when she's playing some hard? When my mother came to me looking like she was demon-possessed. The only reason I knew she wasn't, she was talking in tongues. And she came to me with Aaron's rod that budded in one hand. And Shamgar's ox goat in the other. Looked at me and she said, this hurts me worse than it does you. And I said, we sure could strike up a bargain. Because, Mama, I don't want to see you get hurt. You think she didn't love me? Huh? You think she didn't love me? You know, I got a book here that says that's what makes kids love you. I got a book here that says you're supposed to do that. I've got a book here that says whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. There's a kid in this room tonight, and I won't call his name, nobody will know who it is, but he and I. He came to my office one day and smarted off me when he was a high school student. I mean, he said, who are you to tell me what to do? I grabbed him with a nap of his neck. I drug him over the office. Now he's choir director of this church. You're laughing, but brother, I guarantee you one thing. I preached many a sermon with this boy when he was a teenager. And that young man is one of the closest personal friends I have in this church. I didn't throw him out because I was mad at him. I threw him out because somebody needed to throw that boy out of something. Did I hate him? Does a policeman hate somebody because he puts a criminal in jail? Is a country guilty of hatred who defends its own shores and its own freedom? Is a father guilty of hatred who puts a razor strap on his... Listen, my dad used to shave with a straight razor. Huh? Any of you folks have dads that shave with straight razors? Well, the happiest days of my life when safety razors came out. Huh? And you know how you sharpen those straight razors, don't you? Huh? Huh? A razor strap. Brother, there has never been a weapon invented as deadly. And you've never You've never felt pain. You ladies that have given birth to children, poo. Huh? Somebody said the doctor, Bill Rice, one day, and Dr. John Rice said, if my dad had hit me with a razor strap like yours did, I'd have hated him the rest of my life. Dr. Bill said, if you'd known my dad, if he'd hit you one time, that razor strap, you'd want to make peace with everybody in the whole world. Look at our product. I don't care. The worst kids we've got have got enough preaching like this lodged down in their little hearts and minds and souls to where if they ever want to get right, they'll know how to do it. A young man came to my office last Sunday. One of the finest young men we had in Hammond Baptist High School got off the track. Boy, I tell you, I scalded him. Because I love him. He came last week and he said, I just wanted you to know I got right. And I said, I know it. I've been watching you. I wrote you a letter last week. You'll get it this week. Tell you I'm proud of you. The prodigal son's father didn't welcome him back home while he was still in the hog pen. Prodigal son's father didn't go to the hog pen and live with his son. Huh? He killed a fatted calf and put the ring on his finger and the robe on his back. Why? Because he saw his boy coming home. That's why. One of our young men, I was worried about him. Came back from college, grew his hair long. And that's, by the way, that's a sign of a lot of other things. And I can prove it. Because some of you folks that have long hair right now, you're more miserable than the short-haired crowd. It's not just because of that. There are other things, too. You see, when you're rebellious about one thing in the Word of God, then you're rebellious about other things, too. And let his hair grow long. You sit back over here in service when we just had half this building. Oh, I preached to him. I was down at a certain place not long ago. He's serving God full time, and I had a meal with him after the service. I went back to my room, and I clapped my hands and shouted and cried and said, praise the Lord. Some seed lodged in his heart. He couldn't get away from it. Now he's in full-time service for God. I could go on and on. This young man in this room tonight, sitting in this half of the building over here, I worried about him an awful lot. But now he's one of the finest tithing members of this church, faithful to all the services. Fine Christian father. Why? Even those that it seems... Look, those that it seems are not going to make it in a situation like this. Look, This message tonight lodged in the heart of somebody enough to bring him back from the farthest sinful pasture or hog pen. I mean, if our young folks aren't decent, they at least know decency. And they've heard it preached. And they've heard sin condemned. And may I say this too? Well, let me just read you something. United States Senate had a hearing. Washington, D.C. students and teachers told a Senate subcommittee Tuesday of high schools throughout the country that are riddled with violence and drugs and where learning is second to survival. Did you hear that statement? Learning is second to survival. 17-year-old Kevin of Adelphi, Maryland, said, you wouldn't believe some of the things that go on. She told Senator Birch Bayh, Democrat of Indiana, chairman of the Juvenile Delinquency Committee, nine out of ten people are getting high on marijuana and pills, Kevin said. An 18-year-old Debbie of Akron, Ohio, said that, quote, most of the kids carry a weapon, usually a knife, sometimes a gun. Well, that's in Akron, Maryland. I'm glad you said that, because Robert, 16 in Chicago, described the combination of the two. Quote, they sit around, get high, drop pills, smoke marijuana, get out on these bad trips, and then they go to shooting. They don't know who they're shooting. They're just shooting and having fun. New York school teacher, so-and-so said, her cheekbone was fractured in an assault by a student. She said it's very difficult to function as a teacher when you must concentrate on creating an atmosphere of safety and order in the classroom first and teaching a lesson second. Statistics presented by BI showed that 251 teachers and administrators in the Los Angeles school system alone were the victims of serious physical assaults last year. That's in Los Angeles alone. And in Philadelphia, 278 students were assaulted in classrooms. I'm saying there's not a Christian school in America that tries to stay right as much as we try to keep our Christian school right. So I'm simply saying, don't be discouraged because we're not perfect. We're not. We're not what you thought we were when you came, but we're what we knew we were when you came. We're imperfect people, sinners, saved by grace, just like we were, but we're trying awful hard to help rear our kids right. And I'll say again, most of our kids will make us proud of them. Most of them will. And they'll make us proud of them right now. I could point to young people all over this room, young men I know have never tainted the body of a teenage girl. I can point to decent, chaste young ladies all over.